moment, in this time, in South Africa, in this nation, with what's happening in the world, we are alive here and now to make a difference for Jesus. Because our God is real, He's alive, and we thank You, God. This will be our story. We will see You, Lord God, in the good times and in the bad times, Father. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing has changed. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. God is still God. Your word is still true. And I thank You, Lord, as we take a few moments to get together as Your people, to gather at the table that You've prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Thank You, Lord God, that there's enough bread and living water for every person who hungers and thirsts, Lord. Thank You that when we search for You with all our hearts, we will find You. Lord, there are people here this morning that are desperate for You, that long for You, that need a touch from You, Lord, that want to see Your face, Lord. But You are more desperate than that to have intimacy with us, Lord. As much as what we want You, You want us even more. Father God, by Your Spirit, come and have Your way in every life this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. The cares of this world, the busyness of life, and the pressure of just surviving. Push that all aside, Lord. Push that all aside, Lord God. Whatever's happening in the world, Lord God, and in our lives back home with our families and friends, things that would occupy our mind unnecessarily, burdens that we were never created to carry in the first place, we lay it all at the feet of Jesus this morning. And Holy Spirit, would You quieten our hearts and our minds? May we learn to be still and know that You are God. We don't want to miss a single heartbeat from Your throne room this morning, Father. We want to miss out on nothing. We're not here to play church. We're not here to entertain each other. We're most certainly not here to hear a man speak. Holy Spirit, You the counselor. You are God speaking to our hearts this morning, Lord. Let it change us, Lord. Let it challenge us. Let it encourage us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Say to somebody around you, tell them the good news of Jesus. Say, Jesus loves you and so do I. The circle of life truly is a fascinating thing. So this morning we're celebrating, not the start, but a young life in the form of Michael. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Michael. Is it like that, Gert? Is it what you bedoel it? Is it what you in gedachte gehad het, Michael? It sounds so, it's like, yeah, it's like a mozie. Michael. Sounds strong, yeah. And at the same time, these people that are just clutching on to what's left of life. And this morning I ask that as the Holy Spirit leads you and reminds you of our precious, precious sister Belinda. Dave and Belinda have served on the handlebar team for many, many years, have traveled to church more kilometers than most people care to think during the time that they stayed in Runyeville. I don't know how many kilometers, it's one way and back. They do that every Sunday, to and from, for the longest time. Belinda received the challenging news that she has stage 4 terminal pancreatic cancer. So we trust that you just lean forward and stand in the gap with him as you continue to pray for Dave and for Belinda and for the children and the family at this time. And pray that even in this difficult time, that somehow, in the way that only God can do, God gets the glory through all of that. Can we say an amen for that? So, Father, as we gather together this morning, we just pray for our precious sister Belinda. Lord, you've put that body together. You know it better than no physician or oncologist could ever know. Most of all, Lord, you know her spirit and you know her soul. You're the one that comforts. You're the one that heals. You're the one that brings peace. Standing in the gap for your daughter this morning, you ask that you reach out your hand and that you comfort her, that you touch her, and strengthen her, and that you undergird her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And when the enemy thinks that he has the final say, we say, God's will be done, his kingdom come, and Jesus' will come to pass in the life of your daughter, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. There are faces of familiar friends here this morning with some new colors. Welcome, Yule. Bless you guys. Thank you. I was not paying attention when Zani was making the announcement at that stage, but is there, are there any first-time visitors here this morning? Any first-time visitors? Please raise your hands. Okay, there we go. First-time visitors, we come and we beat you with a stick just to we trust that you feel welcome and right at home here in the presence of the Lord. So we've been busy with a sermon series called God's House of Prayer, and we've been doing a verse-by-verse exposition on Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested in John chapter 17. And last week, we spoke about the fact that, in essence, prayer is a call to rearrange the world and to change things and to bring about God's plan and purpose for the world. And this week, we're going to pick up from John chapter 17 and verse 6. And it reads as follows. And what I've been doing is just to make sure that I, every now and again, I misquote the scripture and I really don't like it. That means I've been listening to my head and not to the Lord. I go back and I watch the streams of the celebrations that we have. And I've been going back on it, and I want to say this. It would be easy for us to slip into a place where we could think that this teaching on prayer is a method. Think about that. That it's a method and a formula for effective prayer or for answered prayer. Because we like that. If we can quantify it and make sense of it, then it's easier for us. But if it's a little bit abstract and weird, dan dink ons, okay, dis nie eintlik so lekker nie. So in watching all of this, I thought to myself, it's easy to get to a place where we think it is a method or a formula. How many of you know that God doesn't work with formulas? Some of you, okay, so I'm telling you, in case you don't know, God doesn't work with formulas. There's no recipe for success in terms of, let's do A, B, and C, and we're going to get X, Y, Z. Some people say, you can't put God in a box, okay? So I don't want you to think that for one second. The teachings, I think this is the 11th installment, in fact it is, on God's House of Prayer, that what we're going through is, okay, these are the things you need to do to get the desired results. It's easy to think it's a method. I want you to erase that if your mind was going there for any period of time and remind yourself of this. The sermon series, God's House of Prayer, is all about intimacy with Jesus. That's all it is. It's not the method, say, well, if I pray like this and I do A, B, C, I'm going to expect X, Y, Z from God. It's not a method. It's not a system. It's not a process. This entire series is about intimacy with Jesus. Are we clear on that, church? Hallelujah. Folks at the back, are we clear on that? This side, are we clear? Uns, as jy met ons, broer. Excellent. Hallelujah. So turn with me to the scriptures in the 17th chapter of the book of John and the 6th verse. It reads as follows. Jesus says, I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. What's the emphasis? The men to whom you have given me. So remember, Jesus is praying in the garden. Remember we said that we need to look closely at these words, because this is the last prayer, so to speak, besides the one on the cross. It's like the last thing that Jesus gets a chance to pray and to teach us how to pray before his arrest. It's what a dying man utters. And he prays like this. He says, Lord, I've been faithful to the ones that you have given me out of the world. There's only one time in Scripture that we see that Jesus took 24 hours to pray before he made a decision. And you know when he done that? Before he called his 12. It took 24 hours to pray and see God's face before he called any one of those people to apostleship, Robert. Dink net hoe gewigtig was daai beslissing wat hy moes gemaak het. I mean, he had to call Matthew, the tax collector, the one who Hy is 'n boereverraaier. He's the Jew who then rips the Jews off. He's the Jew who steals bucks from the Jews. Jesus chose him. Then he chooses the sons of thunder. Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. The oaks that they act before they think. They just want to cut off ears and skop skiet and and not it, but he chose them. People that have an issue with their temper. Marnie? He chose them. And then he chose Judas. You know how Jesus described Judas? The one in whom there's a devil. How many of you have been in church leadership circles where you select somebody for the handlebar team that is possessed? Let them get on board with the leadership team. Jesus saw fit to choose Judas. He says of Judas, there's a devil in this oak. Jesus chose him as an apostle. Who worked it on? What's the point this morning? The point is, Jesus worked with what God gave him. If I was Jesus, I would say, no, Lord, check this oak's CV. Check this oak's resume. This oak doesn't cut it for church membership. I mean, we're an anointed organization. We have standards. We have rules. We have regulations. We have a constitution. You've got to go through all of those things before you get your colors. I can't have this mucho on my team. God is, really, I want you to work with this lot. Jesus took 24 hours to pray before he selected his leadership team. Disciples from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, people that you and I would probably be never even considered for leadership. Jesus worked with what God gave him. So, church, how are we doing this morning? How are we doing with what God has given us? Of is ons denkwyse meeste van die tyd soos volg. One day when, and you fill in the blanks, then I'll be better. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll be gemaklik. One day when there's a new government, then. One day when I get a new job, then. One day when I get my new bike, yes, Lord. Then. One day when I stay, dan gaan dit lekker vir my wees. Hierso in Gautengeling, is dit nie lekker nie. One day when I have this new person, one day when, instead of the here and the now. If we're living in one day when, are we being faithful with that, with what God has given us in the here and now? People, answer me this question. Do you think the mess we in this country has taken God by surprise? Somebody speak to me. Has it taken God by surprise? So then why are so many Christians longing for, remember before COVID. Remember when. Folks, if your mind is too much in the remember when, then you have no hope for the future. Come on. Listen to people's conversations about stuff. Most of the time, they're thinking, "Yeah, I remember when." And then you hear a little about, you know what? But I'm trusting God for. I'm looking forward to, or I know God's going to get through this, get me through this. God's going to do this. Yeah, it's nothing about that. It's all the past. I submit to you, and I say this in love: you're a blast from the past. Get with the program. When God told Moses how to tell Pharaoh about Edom, didn't say, I am the God of the I was, or I'm the God of the I will be. He said, I am. He said, I am. I'm the God of the here and the now. What are we doing with what we've got right in front of us? Speaking of Pastor Moses, he sees his people are in misery and it comes time for them to be delivered. And they must get out of the bondage of Egypt. And he sends Pastor Moses to them. And Pastor Moses comes up with all sorts of excuses. But Lord, I can't do this. And guess what? There's only one person that has come up with more excuses than Moses to go and do what God has called him to do, and that's me. I remember for the first time in my life, when I, for the first time as Mozzie, realized there's a call on my life, I came up with all sorts of excuses. Moses didn't come close to me. And Moses is standing before God, and he says, but God, God knew what he was doing. He chooses Lissok with a temper so bad he didn't even enter the promised land. Did you know that? Moses didn't even enter the promised land. His temper was so bad, his temper kept him out, my boy. And you think, God can't use me. You think, Martin, you think, God can't use me. I've got all these issues. Oh, really? God knows better than you about you, Johan. Hy weet wat is jy in staat om doen, om te doen mits jy gehoorsaam is. He knows better. So Moses came up with all the excuses. And you can picture this. He has Moses before God. And God says, dude, what's in your hand? Moses is like, huh? What's in your hand? What this? The stick. Yes. What's in your hand? God says to Moses, throw it on the ground. Throws it in the ground. Turns into a snake. God says, now pick it up. Not the part, that bites. Pick it up on the other part. I mean, God is clever, eh? Moses probably would have grabbed it by the head. With that simple rod, a stick, God used it to part the waters of the sea. God used it to strike a rock and get water out of the rock. God used it to shepherd the people and say, this is the cloud that we can follow in the daytime to keep us cool. And the column of fire, a simple stick, what was in Moses' hand. My sermon illustration is over. What stick is there in your hand, church? What has God got in front of you right here and now, dear, that you're perhaps not using to your full potential? No, Lord, I'm waiting till one day when I've done this Christian course, or I've got this degree, or this qualification, or Lord, God's call on your life to step in obedience. You say, no, Lord, I first want to give up this little habit. I first want to stop this. Or let me just get this. So many times I've witnessed to people say, so what's stopping you from here and now make a commitment to Jesus? No, let ek net eers huis toe gaan en daaroor dink. I've had a man several times say to me, no, I knew it. I hate it when people say, jou kerk, jou kerk. Ek moet oor en oor herinner, is nie my kerk nie. I just happen to be privileged enough to exercise my big mouth there. It's Jesus' church. And I say, ek wil eers dit en dit doen voordat ek by jou kerk kom. Okay, maar wat van die hier en die nou? What about what's in your hands right here and now? So is there anything in your life, dear friend, that you perhaps not submitted to God, that's not being used to its full potential? Jesus said that of these men. I've used the ones that you have given me out of the world. Are you learning something this morning, church? Verse number 7 of John 17. Jesus says, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. Folks, lots of people don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity because they don't see that word in the Bible. Likewise, you don't see the word rapture in the Bible. You also don't see the word doff in the Bible, but you get doff people. So I'm submitting to you, the Trinity is real, whether you believe it or not, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he has Jesus. He has all the authority of the Father, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. He can, if he wants to, do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, whatever he wants, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He understands authority. He understands teamwork. He understands that. You see, if you have any aspirations to be a leader, young person, or to be a world changer, older person, you cannot be a leader until you're first a good follower. Say that again. You'll never be a good leader until you first learn to be a good follower. The best leaders are first the best followers. Jesus followed what the Father told him to do. Therefore, and only therefore, God exalted him to the right hand of Israel. So Jesus was a good follower. You say, well, I had a brother. It's not a brother. I thought he was, but he's actually just a friend. He said to me, nobody tells me what to do. Next time I see him and the Holy Spirit reminds me, it's got to be the Holy Spirit because if I speak, I'll just stuff it up and say, You should consider how God dealt with the kings in the Bible who said, nobody tells me what to do. Jy gaan gras eet and you're going to be in a stock for a long, long time. Nobody tells me what to do. And you want to be involved in Christian ministry. How then do you fit into the body of Christ when you need to submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus? Nobody tells me what to do. Okay. All right. We'll see you as the last say, you or God. And Jesus understood. He says, all things you have given me are from you. So Jesus followed not his own agenda, God's agenda. That's what he followed. Neither should we. We shouldn't have our own agenda. Something that I'm struggling with, and I submit to you, church, this morning, something that I'm really struggling with, and you know what it is. I don't want to wake up in the day and look at the schedule and the program, and I've learned all these time management things about these fancy things, and it's work when applied correctly. Things like, don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. Think about that. Because if you prioritize your schedule, George, your schedule is always going to be dictating to you what to do with your time. Is it true? Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. Decide in your life what are your priorities in the various areas of your life. I divided my life up into several areas. And I went before the Lord and said, Lord, give me your priority for these areas of my life. Spiritual, mental, physical, marriage, work, financial, and social. There's seven areas, and say, Lord, what is your priority for my life in those areas? And that's my priority. Because guess what? If and when you're a busy person, everything's urgent. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Everything's urgent. But how much of those urgent things is actually important, my brother, my sister? How much of those urgent things actually help you achieve your priority, Henny? How much of it? It's all urgent. Everything's urgent. Almal wil nou 'n woordjie wissel met die pastoor. Almal moet nou hê hulle moet kom sien. Almal wil hê jy moet nou vir hom bid. Everything's urgent. So we can quickly let time suck us into busyness. So you got to submit these things to the Lord. So the thing I'm struggling with, church, is the following. To wake up in the morning and instead of, I know the commitments, I know the schedule, I know who needs to be seen, who needs to be prayed for, who needs to be visited, what reports, it's nach, man. En dan sê sommiges, ja, mos, it's a lekker job jy, nee, jy werk net vir 0.5 uur op 'n Sondag, en dan, mense verstaan jy nie eers nie, okay, come walk like just 5 hours in my shoes too. You all have your, it's all relative to where you are in terms of your business. This is what I'm struggling with. To wake up in the morning and say, all these urgent things, just get quiet before God and say, God, what's important to you today? Lord, what is your number one priority for this little oak today? Lord, let me focus just on that, Lord. Let me focus just on that. And you know what, church? The older I get, it seems that the more and more time it takes me to do less and less and less. But then I actually accomplish, Lord, something. I've accomplished something in your name today because I've let you dictate the priorities in my life. Kan jy die verskil sien? Never ever let productivity be confused with busyness. We all have a to-do list, isn't it? How many of you don't have a to-do list? Be honest with me. How many of you don't have a to-do list? God bless you, Shirley. I want to give you something to do. Make a to-do list. Get busy. So how's about having a not to-do list? You know what one of my not to-do things are? Not to commit to two things on a day. How long have you and I been struggling with that, baby? That's a commitment. On my not to-do list, I want to commit to not to doing more than two things on a day. I'm not talking about brushing my teeth and combing my hair. Well, what's left of it. But I'm talking about this commitment, that ministry responsibility, this visit, this outreach. Because quickly, when you're busy, you get home at night, you're spare, and you think back, Lord, what have I achieved for the kingdom of God? I wonder. So Jesus submitted himself to the lordship of God, if I can put it like that, and he did what the Father done, and only that. So, Jesus never followed his own agenda, and neither should we. Jesus and Christianity is not something that we we must see if we can fit it into our lives. I'm going to see if hierdie kerk goeters. I'm going to check. Ek gaan kyk of ek dit ergens in my lewe kan inpas iewerste. Wanneer ek 'n spaar 5 minute of 6 het, then I'm going to fit in the things of God quickly. Or living for Jesus, I'm going to see, you know, if my schedule allows it, because God knows I'm a CEO. God knows I'm very, very important. God knows how busy I am. I mean, you know, there's going to be some cosmic defects if I'm not around. God knows how essential I am to the survival of humankind. God knows how busy I am. And when I've got time, I'll make time for prayer. I'll make time for scripture reading. I'll make time to testify. I'll make time to fellowship with God. I'll make time to come to celebration. If there's time. With what's left over in my life and my busy schedule, my work, my family, the kids, and my partying and my jollying. If there's any time left over, I'll make time for God and I'll see if I can have a little bit of this life improvement program added to the mix called my life. God doesn't want us, I'll say this, God doesn't want to be part of your life. Oh, there you go. I want somebody else to preach. God doesn't want to be part of your life. What does he want to be?
He wants to be your life.
What does he want to be?
He wants to be your life.
That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's not into second, third, fourth, fifth best. He gave heaven's best. Dan vir ons, hom, ons oorblyfsels gee. The remainder, what's left over of us. God is kind of like not into that. You know, he wants your best. So, Christianity and Jesus is not something that you fit in to your lifestyle. See, Lord, but you know how busy I am. Mm. But now just try and do what you're doing without his next breath. That's a gift to you. Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. Acts 17 and verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. How are we doing for time? The timer wasn't started. What are we on? Dennis, help me. How many? Ah, oh, come on, man. There's 3 verse in here and it's 27 minutes in. Okay, so let's... Okay, I'm gonna start landing this with this verse. Is that okay? Hier gaan mense wil huis toe gaan. Hulle het baie belangrike dinge om te doen. Okay. John 17 and verse 8. Jesus says, listen to this, folks. I've given to them the words which you have given me. I have given to them the words which you have given me. I'm still learning this. The more I preach, the more I learn it. The longer I preach, the bigger it becomes in my life and in my heart. You know, the scripture says all of us, nie nie ons met die mikrofoon nie, all of us are going to be held accountable to God for every single word that we've spoken. Selfs die vloekwoorde, ja. Every single word that you've spoken. Every single word that you've spoken. If I dare for 1 second grab a microphone and dare speak to anybody about anything biblical without fear and trembling in my heart, I am in a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place. If I think, I've got this, man. I know this chapter and verse, been there, done that, got the badge. Ek wil nie bang vir mense te praat nie. I know the scriptures, I don't have to read it, I can quote it. If I'm at that place, dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place to be. Because if I say anything in the name of Jesus and it's not in the name of Jesus, mense, dan wil ek nie voor die heiliges van heiliges staan nie. Met die attitude. Ek wil nie voor hom staan met die attitude nie. And Jesus said, I've only given them your words. So why is this important? Listen to this, church. And this is for people that have, Lord, just let me choose words of life here. This is for people who believe that they hear from God. And folks, we should all hear from God, because who wants to serve a God that you cannot hear? Who wants to pray to a God that never talks back? Anybody? I don't want to pray to a God who never answers me. I want to hear this God. Anybody else? Is it just you, Diane? Is there anybody else that wants to hear God? Oh, come on, church, man. Just get alive, man. What net vakker? That's what. I want to hear this God. I want to know He speaks to me. So if you're at a place where you're not God, you want to hear God's voice, then this is for you. Listen carefully to this, and we'll close with this thought. The Lord told me is never, ever, ever a substitute for the Bible says. The Lord told me is never, ever, ever a substitute for the Bible says. God will never, ever, ever tell you anything that's not written between Genesis and maps. Never. He might give you some deeper revelation, a rhema, to see how it's applicable in your life with a word of wisdom. But He will never, ever, ever tell you anything that's not written between Genesis and maps. I've had people coming to me speaking Christianese up there with the best of them and say, "Die Here het vir my gesê." And I thought, what a biggest lot of hogwash. Ek weet nie wie die Here is nie, maar is nie tussen Genesis en maps nie. Dis onskriftuurlik daai. Nee, maar die Here het vir my gesê, "Halleluja." Jy praat ek van twak, man. Did you hear that? And so what are you saying? Well, we must never say, "Thus saith the Lord." No, you can just make 1,000,000,000% sure. Make sure God confirms His word by the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses. Make sure there's confirmation. Make sure there's confirmation. And folks, if you make a mistake in sincerity, guess what? There's grace. There's grace. You know, when I started preaching, my first sermon ever was the best hermeneutically, homiletically, exegetically perfect sermon that anybody had ever heard, ever. Really? I've still got some of my handwritten notes before I'd done things with computers, and I looked at it and I thought, yes, Moz, really? And you expected the people to listen to this? I'm being serious. Come on, man. I'm just being real. I looked at it and I thought, what were you thinking, son? What were you thinking? You know, we learn and we grow. And it's like that. If you come in sincerity before God and humility and say, "Lord, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, Lord, I submit it to you. But Lord, what do you say?" There's grace. When we make mistakes, there's the Holy Spirit to guide us, you know. So don't be shy and say, "Well, I'm never ever going to say, 'So spreek die Here,' but so waar is wragtig." Just make sure that it's scriptural. Just make sure that it is scriptural. Jesus never uttered anything unless He had first heard and seen from the Father. God will never ever tell you to do anything unscriptural. This person has died. Whether he ended up in the heavenlies or not, I don't know. But he said this. No, God told him to divorce his wife. Really? God told him to divorce his wife. I know a preacher, I won't mention his name because he's not yet to defend himself. He said, no, the wife that he's got now, she's like a little bit slow for the pace of life and the way things are developing now. His wife, when he married her, she was all cool and it was great, and he was warm for her form and vice versa. It was lekker. But now things are going much better. It's now end times. He now needs an end time wife. If I tell you this man's name, you will be shocked. And he needs an end time wife because there's no eintayer. Imagine me coming to you and saying that to you, "Babes, listen, it was great, but hey, listen, I'm out of here." Jylle lach. Was die waarheid, jylle? Some of the things that people say the Lord has said in the name of Jesus. Like, in case you didn't hear, Colette wanted to know, "Do you want a bag? I'll help you pack." She's like a groot bag. "Let me just go on a ministry trip somewhere or some sporting activity. When you come home, you give me there." Hallelujah. All right. So I close with this. How do we know and recognize God's voice? Well, the more time you spend with Him, the more you get to recognize His voice. Church, I hope and I pray that you've learned something from the Lord this morning as we continue to seek His face on this topic of prayer. I want to give you an opportunity. If there's an area in your life where you have been unaware of God wanting to use what's currently in front of you, what's currently in front of you, the people, the circumstances, the resources, the finances, the relationships, the location, the whatever. Say, Lord, I want to be effective right here and now with what is currently in my hand, even if it's just a simple little stick. If you know there's any area of your life where you've perhaps been unfaithful, or there's an area where God can use those things in your life to be more fruitful, and you want that to change in your life, I want to pray with you this morning. So right there where you're seated, if that's you, you know who you are in your heart. Let's just pray together. Father, we've come before you with more excuses than Moses ever has as to why we should not go out and do what you've called us to do. And Lord, oftentimes, in fact, it's probably always like that, that when you call us to do something, it's daunting, Lord. It's intimidating. It's a fearful thing. Yes, indeed, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But Father, we want to be faithful. We want to be obedient. We don't want to wait till one day when and we fill in the blanks. We want to say, Lord, what is there in my life right here and now that I can be more faithful with? Father, I repent before you today and I ask you to forgive me of just missing this, of not seeing it. And Lord, if I've been blatantly disobedient, Here, vergewe my. Ek verdien nie vergifnis nie. But I get it anyway because of the completed work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Forgive me, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then if there's a time in your life where you know you've made a mistake, either moedswillig or out of ignorance, where you've missed God, it's okay. His grace is sufficient for us and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. If that is you and you have a desire to accurately represent Jesus all the time and let His words become your words, and you want God to use you to build His kingdom in people's lives, then pray with me this morning. Say, Father, I thank you that many are the plans of a man's heart, but you direct his steps, and our hearts are in your hands anyway, Lord God. And the scripture also teaches us, Lord God, that we can meditate on things, but the answer of the mouth is from you. Lord, I pray that you help me to let my words be seasoned with salt, that I speak the right words at the right time in love, just like Jesus would, that my words can become like apples of gold in settings of silver. Lord, that my words are words that encourage people, that lift people up, and that point people to Jesus. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your grace. And Father, these things we ask this morning in the name of Jesus, because you completed the work of the cross. Thank you that we can come to you, Father, because of Jesus. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. As the deep end comes up, to just end off with a song again and a time of worship, I want to pray God's blessing over you and then send you on your way. Thank you for making the time to listen, church. Do I need to remind anybody of anything? For those that continue to participate in the offering with physical cash, that's great. But for those of you that like to make means of electronic means, please remember we have that Yoko facility that's available. Please come see Heidi after that. And here is this is a little bit of commercial stuff. And no, this house is not a den of thieves. This is for somebody who needs it. It is a Curiopolis Premium Quality Skins Lookalike. This is genuine imitation leather. It's genuine imitation leather. It's a jacket. Its size is too big for me. You must self come cake. It's padded. It's going for 800 rand. If you see your way clear of getting this for yourself or for somebody, please come see me. It's a young man who's financially challenged. Please come see me about that afterwards. And then? Okay, Colette says, if you did not get a Memorial Run sticker last week and you were here, and only if you were here, ne? And you want a Memorial sticker to stick somewhere, please come get one as well. I think that's about wraps it up. Well, mighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly and have an awesome week. Just a reminder to the HBT gents to please come see me afterwards for some paperwork we need to sign. And let's hand over to the deep end. Thank you, guys and ladies. Bless you.